Let's turn to Leviticus chapter 3, the law of peace offerings. Leviticus 3. Now, if his offering is a sacrifice of peace offerings, if he is going to offer out of the herd, whether male or female, he shall offer it without defect before the Lord. And he shall lay his hand on the head of his offering and slay it at the doorway of the tent of meeting. And Aaron's sons, the priests, shall sprinkle the blood around on the altar. And from the sacrifice of the peace offerings, he shall present an offering by fire to the Lord, the fat that covers the entrails and all the fat that is on the entrails. And the two kidneys with the fat that is on them, which is on the loins, and the lobe of the liver, which he shall remove with the kidneys. Then Aaron's son shall offer it up in smoke on the altar on the burnt offering, which is on the wood that is on the fire. It is an offering by fire of a soothing aroma to the Lord. And if his offering for a sacrifice of peace offerings to the Lord is from the flock, he shall offer it male or female without defect. If he is going to offer a lamb for his offering, then he shall offer it before the Lord. And he shall lay his hand on the head of his offering and slay it before the tent of meeting, and Aaron's son shall sprinkle his blood around on the altar. And from the sacrifice of peace offerings, he shall bring as an offering by fire to the Lord its fat, the entire tail, fat tail, which he shall remove close to the backbone, and the fat that covers the entrails, and all the fat that is on the entrails. And the two kidneys with the fat that is on them, which is on the loins, and the lobe of the liver, which he shall remove with the kidneys. Then the priest shall offer it up in smoke on the altar as food, an offering by fire to the Lord. Moreover, if his offering is a goat, then he shall offer it before the Lord. He shall lay his hand on its head and slay before the tent of meeting, and the sons of Aaron shall sprinkle his blood around on the altar. And from it he shall present his offering as an offering by fire to the Lord, the fat that covers the entrails and all the fat that is on the entrails, and the two kidneys with the fat that is on them, which is on the loins and the lobe of the liver, which he shall remove with the kidneys, and the priest shall offer them up in smoke on the altar as food, an offering by fire for a soothing aroma. All fat is the Lord's. It is a perpetual statute throughout your generations in your dwellings. You shall not eat any fat or any blood. Amen. So yesterday we dealt with the grain offering. The grain offering was a thanksgiving of harvest. And so it was dealt with their livelihood, which was their farming. And so now we get into this new offering, which is the peace offering. Now, peace is a little different than what we think about peace. Like when we talk about peace, we think goodwill, we think no war, and these kind of things. Well, peace to them was a little different. It actually meant prosperity. And so it meant extreme well-being. And so the Israelites would give this kind of peace offering in two different occasions, okay? And this is would actually be fairly close to how we operate as well, like especially when we talk about prayer. One is the peace offering was a thank you for the prosperity they were receiving, okay? And so it was a response. And so it was, you know, Lord, man, I've got a great job. I'm talking about in our context, right? You know, I'm healthy. Things are going great. And so there is peace, shalom, around us. And so then out of that place, we offer up this offering. So that's one side. It's a response to God's goodness in our lives, in the lives of the Israelites. So it's saying, God, man, you've helped me to be so prosperous. And so it's a very righteous response. The other way that they would operate in this peace offering is that it was a hope for a future blessing. And so it's kind of like, well, I'm not prosperous right now, but I know that your will is that I will be prosperous, so I'm going to give this offering, and not necessarily as a down payment. You know, so like, okay, God, I'm going to give you this, you give me this, you know, kind of thing. And not in that way, but it was more of a trust in God that better times are going to come for the Israelite and for his family. And so I think we're pretty familiar with this because when our prayers, we operate in that same way. We respond to God's goodness, And then when we're not experiencing that, we respond as well by offering up hope in the Lord. And so this peace offering was that same way. It was, Lord, man, thank you so much for blessing me so much, for helping me to be prosperous and wealthy and all that stuff. And then the other part was, Lord, I'm not at that place right now, but I give this offering because I know that this is your heart and your desire, and so I just thank you in advance. You guys understand? And so that's basically how this offering worked. And so it's the same thing. So he talks in about three different sets of animals, okay? And one thing, I mean, I just realized it right when I was reading this just now, and I'll get to some of that later on, but what he does, he says, if they take it from a herd, and so now, so he's talking about a cow, okay, or, you know, some kind of animal in that way. And so when you bring it up, it's the same thing. You grab the animal, you pick one, spotless, you grab the animal by its head, and if you're here back in chapter 1, we talked about what when they did that, they were basically transferring their guilt. They were in a way that animal was the scapegoat. And so when they laid hands on the animal, it was acknowledging God and who he was, but it was also acknowledging their sin. Now, in this case, they're not dealing with sin. We're going to get to sin offering next time. But what they would do is they were acknowledging God's providence and God's goodness. And so they were acknowledging God's part and their part as well. So same thing. They went and laid hands, you know, on the head of the animal, and then they cut the animal. They slayed it. And so it wasn't, you know, it wasn't just a spiritual act. It was also a physical act. And I mentioned last time, James actually says it very well, faith without works is dead. And so there's this aspect, there's a spiritual side, but there's also an action side. You know, there's something that we do out of our body or our humanness in that way. And so you lay hands, that's the spiritual side. You know, you do these things, and then they slay the animal at the doorway. And then God makes it kind of really interesting. Number one, only the priest touched the blood. Have you noticed that? Only the priest touched the blood. The blood had life. And there was something so sacred about that, and so he reserved that for the priest. Also, a part of that is they cut the animal, they slay him, and then what God wants, he wants the entrails, you know, the intestines, and he wants the fat around them. Now, I just thought about this when I was reading. I realized, man, you know, I was like, what is God like? Chinese? You know, is he Korean? Does he like intestines and stuff like that? Like, what's going on here? You know, he must be Asian or something. But I realized that this is actually I feel like God is so practical. You know what I mean? Because this is actually the easiest part of the animal to take out. I don't know if you've ever gone to a butcher or ever gone hunting or anything like that. The belly, which is probably the easiest place to cut, when you cut open the belly, the entrails, everything just falls out. I know that's really gross for early morning and everything. But, it just comes out. And so can you imagine, you know, this is a practical side of God. So many sacrifices, if God said, give me the third bone, you know, the third rib. I mean, those guys would be in there like inside the cow, performing surgery basically. Instead, God says, give me the entrails, the fat, the intestines. I don't think there's anything special about those pieces, you know. But it's just, to me, it seems like it's just so practical. You slice, and that's what's available right then and there. And so that's what they say, so offer that up to the Lord. You know, or else, man, you know, honestly, like, this whole thing is already a bloody mess. But can you imagine if God says, you know, I want the left brain of, you know, or any of these things. And, this would be incredibly long time to get to certain parts of the animal, And so he just says, cut, and then it just comes out, and then there it goes. I was going to tell some gross stories, but I'm going to spare you because it's the morning. So then it goes on, and the kidneys, and they're very, very easily accessible. And then Aaron's son shall offer it up in smoke on the altar. And then he says, but if his offering is a sacrifice of peace offerings to the Lord from the flock. So now he's dealing with sheep and goats. And so he gives two different instructions. So first thing, he talks about the sheep. And this is actually quite interesting. He says there, I want the fat tail. Now, many of us are not in the sheep business, and so we don't know any of these kind of things. But an Arabian sheep, or the sheep that they would be used to during this time, is a certain type of sheep. Usually the sheep itself weighs about 60 pounds. Okay, so they're actually quite large animals. But the tail of the sheep, in this particular sheep that they're talking about here, actually the tail is about 15 pounds. The tail was considered a delicacy. The tail was kind of like the best part of the meat. It was a combination of fat and marrow. It was just really good piece of meat. And God says, I want you to cut the tail and I want you to give it to me. And so, one, dealing with the practicality of it, right? It's easy to slice a tail. But the other part, too, is this whole issue of, God loves a cheerful giver. God wants the first and the best. And this is really akin to that. This is where all those teachings in the New Testament come from. It's this idea that God wants the best. And we can say, you know what? That's really so unfair. Well, why do you get the best? Why can't I get the best? We sound like little kids, right? Why do you get that? This is like my kids fighting with each other. We give Emma, when you have kids, you have to be like very exacting. If I take a chocolate bar, right, and I divide it into three pieces for Elise, Emma, and Hannah, they better darn well be perfectly equal pieces. Because if it's just a tiny bit off, it's hard to cut, open candy bars, right? Tiny bit off, why does she get the bigger piece? And then it becomes, Appa, you love her more than me. And just this whole mess, that happens. How did I get on this topic? You feel my angst now, okay? And so, going back to giving God the best. And we could be like little kids and like, But when you think about it, doesn't God deserve our very best? You know what I mean? Doesn't God deserve everything? Doesn't God, in his nature and who he is, doesn't he warrant and our hearts to say, God, I give you everything. I'm going to give you my best. Church, he deserves nothing less than our very best. And for us to squabble about, God, why do you want the best? And it's almost ridiculous for us. Think in this terms, he did not even spare his own son. Right? How much more will we give everything that we need? The book of Romans tells us. And so God always gave us his best. Always. Why should we give him anything less than that? You know what I mean? So I know we can kind of get in the flesh and we're like, God, the first and best, and it seems unfair, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But then when you really sit down and think about it, who deserves our best more than God? Who deserves our best time, our best efforts, our best of our wealth, the best of our service? It's almost ridiculous for us to think otherwise. And God turns to us and he says, Give me the tail. Give me the fat portion of that tail. Give me the best of the animal. You know, listen, you know, you can have all the rest. You know what I mean? Like, can you imagine this big heifer that they bring in there, and God says, I want the entrails, I want the fat portions, and then you could have the rest. That's a great deal. You know what I mean? I mean, you got the tenderloin, you know, you got the ribeye, I mean, you know, you got the flank. I mean, just think about all this cuts of meat. You can have that, but just this part, God says, I want the first and I want the best. Give to me. He talks about the sheep. Man, you could have, you know, I'm sorry, I don't really like sheep, so I don't really know the meat parts that well, but I know that there's the, the lamb chops, right? You could have the lamb chops, you can have all these things, but just give me the tail and the entrails and the fat portions. Then he goes to the goat, and he says the same thing. Lay hands on it, slay it, let the priest sprinkle. You know, there's acknowledging our part and God's part in the sacrifice. Give me this part, and you can have the rest. And I think that's a pretty good deal. Do you know what I mean? I mean, I think that's a really good deal in that regard. And so, but the issue here, okay, and you always have to think in these terms. The issue is never about the amount, okay? The issue is always about the heart. That's why God says he loves a cheerful giver, right? Not grudgingly or under compulsion. God loves a cheerful giver. And it's this idea that God is always dealing with the heart. You know, he writes to the Gospels, hey, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so whenever, you know, we talk about generosity, giving, any of these things, even in this context of sacrifice, it's always dealing with an issue of the heart. And so we always need to make sure that our heart is in the right place. That whatever the giving, even if you give $1 billion and your heart is not in the right place, in other words, you give to impress, or you give out of obligation or out of guilt, you know, or any of these things, you know, in other words, you don't give out of grace, right? It's almost null and void in many ways. Because remember, God is always interested in not the what per se, but in the how and in the why. And so it's really important for us to really grab a hold of this understanding, you know, of how the Lord works in our lives. And so again, the kidneys and, you know, it's the same kind of thing. And it says, and then what happens is, and this is the beauty of the offering, what happens is when the priests take the offering and they put it up in smoke and it goes before the Lord, it says it becomes a sweet aroma to God. In other words, that offering, that place, that sacrifice, when it's your best and it's the first, the resulting of it is really worship unto the Lord. The fragrance, you know, the sweet aroma, the smoke that rises up, that's a motif through the scriptures about worship. It's about praising God, glorifying God. You know, our prayers rise up like incense, sweet incense to the Lord. We become a sweet aroma before God. And it's always in the context of prayer and worship. And so when we talk in these terms, when we offer to God our best and our first with a good heart, a clean heart, and we offer up to the Lord, the result of that really is this worship to God. You know, it really becomes quite a beautiful thing that rises up before the Lord. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians. Let's read a scripture. And I'll close. Second Corinthians chapter 9. And so Paul, this is, you know, the passage on giving. God loves a cheerful giver. But if you continue on, if you look at verse 12, this is what he says. For the ministry of the service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. This was in relation to the gift that they were giving to the churches that Paul was collecting money for. And he says, now, this funds that you've collected and you're giving, not only is going to fulfill the needs of the people, it's going to do that, but really what it does, it overflows in thanksgiving to God. What a beautiful, beautiful thing that our sacrifice, our offering, your offering, you know, I mean, I want to depart a little bit from the sacrifice in Leviticus. Your offering not only supplies the needs of the saints, it runs the church, it pays the salaries, it pays the rent, it's involved in missions, you know, and your giving has done amazing things in the kingdom of God here in Hong Kong and you know, all over Asia. We'll give a report at the end of this year. And through all this, it not only supplies those needs, but also overflows in thanksgiving to God. It's this sweet aroma to the Lord. It's sweet incense that rises up to God. And He is pleased. And ultimately, our goal in life, and I mean, this may not be your goal, but this is one of my goals. And when I think about my spiritual discipleship, my goal, my ultimate goal is to please God. At the end of the day, if I please Him, I know I'm going to glorify Him. You know, I want to kind of get away from a very spiritualizing things. You know, I want to glorify God. Well, what does that really mean? And so I kind of bring it down to a very elementary level for myself. I want to please God. At the end of the day, I want to put a smile on God's face. You know, I can very easily put a frown on His face, very easily. You know, but I want to put a smile on God's face. Paul tells us that in Ephesians, he says, you know, try to find what is pleasing to the Lord. And his whole life was about pleasing God. And we know that one of the ways that we please God is through our sacrifice to God. And that's how the Israelites, you know, operated. And that's how I want to operate. It's real simple. So let's close our eyes as we meditate. In a real, real simple way, are you giving to God your first and your best? When we talk about our time, talent, and treasure, are you giving to God your first and your best? And if you are, and that is a sweet aroma unto the Lord. Let's just ask God to check our hearts and move us into that way.
have been.
Go before the Lord and let's continue to offer our hearts to God. And that's really what He's interested in more than anything else. That we have a clean, whole heart before Him. That we honor Him and we honor people around us. And so when we talk about these sacrifices and the giving of these offerings, let's always make sure it always comes in place, a good place in our hearts. Huh? So let's present our hearts before the Lord this morning. Thank you. Let's pray over our community that are battling cancer and recovering from surgeries and going through chemo. Let's pray for God's presence to lift each of them up. Let's pray for healing. Also just pray for their families, and they would just be encouraged by God during this very difficult period of their lives. So let's lift them up. Let's pray over our community that are ill, but also that need to meet Jesus. Let's pray for God's healing word and His healing power, and the word of salvation. Let's cover. Pray for our community that are battling non-cancer related illnesses. Let's pray for God's healing in their lives. Let's pray for our friends that are looking for work. Let's pray for God's provision for them now and also future provision. So our mission focus, and let's pray for Cambodia. Let's ask God to just breathe His Spirit over this country that has really gone through so many tragedy. Let's pray for the new generation to rise up and lead the country in the ways of God. Let's lift up Grace. Grace is here in Hong Kong. She's entered into a time of sabbatical. Let's pray for rest for her. Let's pray for Ashley as she's wrapping up her time in Cambodia. Let's pray for Bloom and the ministry there, and Ruth and Murray, and ask the Lord to continue to move on them. Let's pray for Pastor Oh at Vision to Reality and Pastor Tang at New Life Church. Let's lift up our friends and ministry partners and just continue to ask the Lord to strengthen them and use them to impact Cambodia for Christ. Thank you. Let's cover our board. Let's ask God to bless our senior leaders, and as they continue to pray and cover the church and pray for that spirit of wisdom and revelation as they make decisions on behalf of the church, and just ask God's spirit to cover our families and our work and our ministries. And let's ask God's protection and His grace. Let's cover our hospitality ministries, and let's pray for welcoming and barista. Let's thank the Lord for just a welcoming atmosphere at SP. We can be even more welcoming and loving, and let's just pray for that atmosphere to invade. I mean, not just these ministry volunteers, but the whole church. Let's pray for their service unto the Lord, and God will really be pleased as they give their time and efforts to Him. And let's pray for our leaders and our volunteers, and ask the Lord to continue to bless them. Let's pray for our house church tonight. Wednesday is our biggest house church night. Let's just cover Robbie West, New Conduit Road, Robin Hood, Sha Tin, Tai Hang, Elements, Happy Valley, and Island. Let's pray for the Holy Spirit to lead our discussions, and especially as we talk about reaching out and evangelizing and sharing our faith with people, that the Lord really speak to the churches tonight. Pray together. Father, we thank You. We bless You this morning. We thank You for that gentle reminder, God. Lord, You deserve nothing less than our very best. Forgive us, Lord, when we fight that sometimes out of our flesh, out of our selfishness and our greed, God. Lord, we want to always offer to You our best in terms of our time, our talent, and our treasure. And Lord, receive and let it be a fragrant aroma to You, God, that puts a smile on Your face, Lord. We thank You, God. We love You so much, Lord. Be with us today, that Jesus may be glorified in our lives. We bless You. We love You, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. You know, thanks for praying with us this morning. Please enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow.